Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? This will be a short and chill show because in 1 hour from now there will be the debate on modern day debate. Dino Logovic says, oh god, am I alone here? Well, no, Dead Star has already joined and there will be more people on the chat, I'm sure, don't worry. So tonight, in 1 hour from now, modern day debate against Sal Cordova. If you'd like to join the debate, it is in the description below. You'll find the link to the YouTube video. This will be probably the most detailed evolutionary discussion on this theme of creationism and intelligent design, that type of stuff, because Sal Cordova is extremely detailed. He has precise points about certain molecular systems that he believes could not have evolved, and that it's better to think of them as made by a creator. So I'm going to get in the details with him. That's why I also asked him to be the one starting tonight, because although sometimes I like to make a case for evolution, I think that tonight the discussion will be so technical that it's better that he lays out his technical points and then I will answer his technical points. So he will be the one starting. Silver Spider says, Saul was quoting the Bible in his last debate. I hope he talks about biology more. Well, I'm ready to handle him on biology. We'll see to what degree of detail he wants to bring it, but I'm ready for full autistic biology tonight. That's what I've prepared for. Hopefully you won't surprise me with going for broader arguments, because I want to talk about the details. I think he has some great ideas. I think that some of the stuff he's been saying about introns and exons, it has literally led me yesterday to come up with a new theory. I was like, okay, let's grant him that intron, you know, this idea that the genes are produced in RNA form, and then that the cell removes some chunks of it. Why would a gene evolve to only be deleted after? And of course, there are responses to this already, but I thought, what could be the ultimate answer against this? What could be even better than the response that I know everyone could do, which is the typical response to this could be, genes evolve with all sorts of polluting signals in them. There's nothing that keeps some other gene to come and clean those signals to make it even better from a perspective of natural selection. So because natural selection not only applies on the gene being cut, it applies on the genes that's cutting this gene. Ultimately, the cell is invested in having success, and any gene that can lead to that success will be selected for. But I've actually come up with an even better argument than this, and I can't wait to drop it on modern day debate, because literally you're gonna see what I think. I think this is a new scientific theory of the emergence of introns. I believe that I found what could explain beautifully, and it's totally in line with the revolutionary phenotype. In fact, I had kind of the seed of the idea was already present in my book, this idea that the nucleus of the eukaryotes would be a viral infection, basically a virus that has evolved to control some other organism. I'm going to even add to this that perhaps the intron and exon system are systems that were inherited from this original act. Dead Star says, the Scotsman sold JF a shirt with shoulder buttons. Hum. He was a true Scotsman. I wanted to talk about the peripheral, because when I mentioned my blues of the fact that Westworld was not existing anymore, and that anyways season 3 and 4 were pretty weak, mostly 4. 4 was really bad. I was disappointed, and on top of it, they stopped producing it, so there won't be a season 5. But Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan have teamed up to produce The Peripheral, so they are the same creators of Westworld, And holy shit, is that good. This is a series on Amazon. I don't know how many episodes are out there, but I think it's currently releasing. I've watched 3 episodes for now. I think there will be more and more episodes coming out. So it's a current TV series, which is rare that I'm in line with the fashion so much that I actually watch TV series at the same time as most other human beings. But that is a case where it's happening. I'm watching it. The peripheral is everything I've been wanting Matrix to be, but it wasn't. You know how I've mentioned that when Matrix 4 came out, I wanted them to do a reversal. To do, why wouldn't we make it so that actually the people who think they're getting out of the Matrix are getting into the Matrix? What if the reality is the human beings on Earth chilling, having jobs, and the fiction, the virtual world, is the world of the machines? And really, all along, what they were entering in is nothing else than a game. That would be a reversal of embedded systems. Like, I don't think there's really such things showing up outside of the movies of Jonathan Nolan and Christopher Nolan. There is nothing like this in cinema and in tele. But the peripheral seems to be exactly headed there. It's an interaction between two worlds, where a girl is convinced that she's just playing a game into a virtual world with some headset that is controlling. Well, at first it's controlling her eyes, so it's just a screen close to the eyes. But eventually they get the new technology and it's a brain EEGs. Of course, it's so rudimentary. It's impossible with 3 electrodes like this that you could find control the brain the way they suggest. But if you suspend your disbelief, okay, you know, she's entering a virtual world by connecting her brain to it. But she starts realizing that this virtual world is not virtual as she thought. Now, I don't know where it's going to be headed, but I think where it's headed is that she will eventually discover not only that it's not that the other world isn't virtual and that the other world is reality. I think she's going to discover that she is herself in a virtual world. I think she's going to discover that she is that she's not in a base reality, that ultimately all worlds can be interconnected and you're always in the virtual world of someone else. In other words, it's an infinite bilateral embedded system. Now, there are many components to the peripheral at the moment, you know, given that I've watched just a few episodes. She believes that the virtual world that she enters is 90 years ahead of her. So she believes it's the future right now. But I think there may be some... I don't know. Is it going to be a time-traveling real thing? Or is it going to be simply that you are at an arbitrary time point when you switch reality in a sense? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Perhaps she is a model made in the future. She is a model of an old human being living in an old virtual world for humans, basically a kind of matrix that she's escaping. All of this is extremely interesting. And finally, we see this bilateral full completion of the circle where, okay, here's a teleseries in which I cannot assume which side is real and which side is virtual. And this is going to lead to lots of excitement. I think this girl, who is the main character, at least right now in the first season, will die. They've set up for her death a lot because I think that the people of the future are not revealing information to her in a way that leads me to believe that they want to hide information from her because the path that she's currently taking will lead to her death. Kovi Clown says, it's your pod you will be in. With your goggles, you be see in. a whole new version of reality, a whole new version of humanity. I mean, I'm excited when I'm in the fiction world to think about virtual realities and embedded systems, but I don't think it's coming in the form that we expect. Anyways, The Peripheral, beautiful work, again, by the same creator of Westworld, by the same creator, Jonathan Nolan, who has contributed to the movies of Christopher Nolan, the creator who has studied embedded systems forever, and I loved all of his movies about embedded systems. So fascinating, and the intro, you see some themes that I've been talking about before. Before, I've once said that there's a problem with time-traveling movie. It is that the position of planet Earth shouldn't be the same in the future. So if you were to select a random date in the future and travel to it, you would land in space because planet Earth would be that way and you'd still be here. Even that is taken into account. We see it in the intro. There's a 3D model of two Earths. And there's a line that links London of one time point, of one reality, to London in the other reality. And we see that the second planet Earth is ahead of the first. So it's like even the geographical reality of time traveling issues is taken into account. I find this so profound. It's a teleseries that is hard to watch. Let me tell you, I've been watching it twice because I understood shit. But I was doing other things. I was playing a game. You know, I took it very lightly at first. I was like, oh, I'm going to play a game on computer and I'm going to put it on the side. And then I realized, holy shit, I understand nothing. I have to rewatch it in full. And I rewatched it. And now I understand. This is a heavy, super dense. It's for fanatics of TV and science fiction. If you're a fanatic, if you want to go through the trouble of listening to their English accents, go for it. It is pure joy. John Drake says, you should try the David Cronenberg movie, Existence, JF. I don't know if it holds up, but I remember it as interesting. Yeah, it is kind of cheap and annoying as a movie. I watched it. It's like they took the idea of embedded realities and doubting where it ends. So this is not a bilateral system because it's a system in which in the end, you just don't know, have I reached the end, the base reality or not? Now that is very different from, I don't even know which sense is the base reality. See, this is the subtle difference with Jonathan Nolan and existence, they had a sense that there is if you get into the higher reality, you're less virtual, you're more real. With Jonathan Nolan, I think he's setting up something here where you don't even know the sense. It's all relative. He's introducing relativity to the sense of embedded realities, which is what I've always been waiting for. I've always been demanding this. For those of you who watch every show, you know I've been talking about this back in the Matrix days. I've been wanting it to happen. We get it now with The Peripheral, and I'm excited. Bhutan Bear is back, sends a super chat. He says, my name is Jafar. I come from afar. There's a Galaxy Note 7 in my car. I will not read the rest, but holy shit, Bhutan Bear, you are enthusiast today. Calm your enthusiasm, bro. The situation in the political counting has not evolved very much. We're just getting closer to the split, the even split. It looks like we're headed toward a slim majority in the House, but the Senate is still not fully resolved. I would expect we're going to get a majority of one for the Republicans, but it's going to be extremely tight. Meanwhile, the SBF, this guy was leading FTX, the exchange that has totally failed and that is now in bankruptcy proceedings. I'm sorry, I fucked up. So he explains, I'm sorry, that's the biggest thing. I fucked up and should have done better. He didn't realize that the margins of his users were tight and that ultimately he thought he had reserves and no leverage, but the actual reality was that he had leverage and not much liquidity. He launched, I think he's launching at the end of his tweet. He's launching a message to Binance CZ. He says, Oh, yeah, by the way, one good news is if you are at FTX US, the US funds were isolated and not leveraged because they wanted to follow US regulator commitments. And so if you are at FTX US, you have not lost your funds. That is a good news for the people in the US. So it's only FTX International that is bankrupting. He launches a message to CZ. He says, at some point, I might have more to say about a particular sparring partner, so to speak. But you know, glass houses. So for now, all I'll say is, well played, you won. So he's trying to suggest that CZ from Binance is in a glass house, or is he saying that he's in a glass house trying to throw rocks at CZ? In any case, he's basically telling CZ of Binance, your plan worked. So he's suggesting that this whole crash of his company, due to the fact that he fucked up, would have been precipitated or somehow caused by CZ from Binance. What a bizarre statement at the end. Trying while you fall down into the abyss to try to bring your adversary with you. Okay, a little bit of final hate, I guess, before you die. It's unimportant ultimately. Go away says who won? Sounds a little anti-Semitic to me. No, it's not anti-Semitic. CZ from Binance is an Asian. Nichols landfall on Florida's East Coast is a super rare event for November. So apparently we will have a rare event in the sense that normally the season for hurricanes is over, but this will, or at least it's lighter hurricanes, but this one will be a Category 1 storm with sustained winds of 75 miles per hour at an extremely late moment of the hurricane season in November. So brace yourselves. Hopefully everyone is fine in Florida. Musk tells Twitter staff remote working will end. I'm okay with this because the problem is I believe truly in remote working. I think that the hate of Elon Musk against remote working has to be dampened a little bit. It's not everyone who works from home who's not efficient. I'm an extremely efficient home worker. Sometimes when I take contracts, when I take jobs, I deliver and I deliver quick and I'm available and you can always contact me. So there are people who do it well, but the problem is Twitter doesn't do it well. Twitter has let its remote work environment to pollute and create a company culture that is so social in nature, where people have expectations and these employees have been treated way too well by Twitter. They have to go back to connecting back to reality, including coding. So I think that his decision is the right one, but we shouldn't disparage home working because it is more efficient. I'm sorry, but if you have an extra hour in your day because you don't drive to your work, if you have extra money in your life because you don't pay gas, because you don't have to dress, because you can work in your underwear, if you pull all of the this new energy and put it in work, you can be much more efficient than a brick and mortar traditional worker. Go away, says Jeff. Doesn't NASA have some rocket that they can't move to safety now? I don't know. I'll have to follow this, but I've not heard of this for now. John Drake says, after seeing the video of that woman's day at Twitter, remote working looks harder. Yeah, given the luxury of the Twitter HQ, but precisely having a HQ of that level of luxury, I think it's just too much. I mean, how do you want to enter this space of leisures and be on the mindset of, hey, I'm an engineer, I need to produce some code? Crazy Catman says, yeah, but there are too many blood jars and slacking off. If you can verify certain individuals are producing output of reasonable quality and quantity, then I would let those do it. If the QNQ slips, no more work from home. Yeah, exactly. So the reason I am super comfortable with work from home is that everything I do in terms of contractual work, everything I used to do, was always a deliverable. So really, when I deliver, when I say, okay, I'm going to deliver this for this amount of money, now my employer doesn't care if I'm spending 10 hours a day on it or 15 hours a day on it, or if I'm productive. He wants the product and he wants a good product. So when you're in that kind of business, you're going to have to deliver a good product no matter what. And it doesn't matter how you do it. Arizona's Maricopa County begins hand count audit as estimated 400,000 ballots are unprocessed. Election officials in Maricopa County, Arizona, begin hand count audit to test the accuracy of tabulation equipment. Wow, I'm tired. I wasn't yawning to the story. I'm yawning because I'm tired. Okay, an audit will be run. We've seen these audits before. We've seen that it leads to firms that say, oh yes, there was a fraud. And then people are like, no, there wasn't fraud. This firm is biased. We don't have a mechanism for electoral justice, really, and that's a problem. Some U.S. officials see winter as an opportunity for diplomacy in Ukraine. Well, it's not so much an opportunity, it's that you are stuck in shit. Because now Russia has struck your infrastructure, including energy production, and now living is hard. So I wouldn't describe this as an opportunity. I would say Russia has never had so much leverage on you because you've been lazy. okay, someone on the Kino Casino has commented because Andy Warski was fired from there, and Will Stein is reporting on Discord that someone typed JFG was right, CRP was right. Oh my god, this loose cannon, Andy. A specialist of losing, really. That's what he's been. That's what I will retain him as. A specialist of lust. Someone who does it well, you know. Silver Spider says, we've seen this audit before. It happens more often than JF yawns. People are highlighting the rarity of my yawns on the chat. Twitter turmoil continues under Musk, triggering FTC warning. The federal agency issued a statement following more departures of top Twitter execs and a leaked internal message. I'm so pissed at these people. They're going after Elon Musk. They start saying, oh yeah, by the way, the FTC had an agreement with Twitter that any monetization had to be had to be compliant with some order that they gave, and they could be fined billions of dollars if Elon Musk goes with a plan of monetization without considering this order. It's like, oh, you guys are just making life hard for Elon, because that's your side way to get to control what people say. Now that you don't have the people at Twitter doing your dirty work of censorship for you, you're just going to go unpunishing Elon because he's allowing people to speak freely. That is the strategy that we're seeing laid out, and it's going to happen. The FTC already has sent a letter indicating, the FTC has indicated, and someone internal to Twitter has reported, that Elon put rocket into space, so he's not afraid of the FTC. And he wrote anonymously, the author went on to allege that Twitter's legal department would now require the company's software engineers to self-certify compliance with FTC requirements. So that's an indication that Elon Musk could be internally nervous about his employees could be intentionally FTC non-compliant just to get the FTC involved. So his employees would basically act as parasites trying to get the government to fall down onto the head of Elon Musk, and then they could argue, oh, sorry, I didn't know. So now they are speculating that Elon Musk wants to impose self-certification of compliance. That would be every employee signing a document that says, yes, I understand those rules and I will follow them. It sucks. It sucks that Elon Musk has to deal with this. All of this is government intervention, ultimately on speech. Shouldn't happen. Grapes Coda says, TRP Robo GF sometimes forgets to simulate yawning. Was this a good one? Mysterious Mention says, JF, have you ever made homemade pickles? I had one recently. It was incredible. They taste more like a cucumber rather than crab pickle juice. I didn't do it, but Mama JF is thinking about it. So I think very soon we're going to get a trial of homemade pickle going. Indeed, they must taste very good. I don't know that I've tasted. I may have tasted some homemade pickle back in the days of my hipster hanging out, and I was going to these restaurants. I'm pretty sure some of them have served their homemade pickles. But yeah, I can't wait to taste this. Go away, says JF. All Elon has to do is pump 100 million into Dogecoin, and he will have tens of thousands of programmers that will be loyal to him to the death. He can have a whole new Twitter staff. The problem is, do you really want to attract as your Twitter staff a bunch of crypto apes who don't know anything and who just follow the trends and who are excited about their next bag? That doesn't sound like people I want to employ personally. White House slams door on advanced drones for Ukraine. Is this the beginning of the end for the era of US blank check writing for Ukraine? The Biden administration won't give Ukraine advanced drones, despite pleas from Kiev and a bipartisan group of members of Congress. A reflection of the limit of the kinds of weaponry Washington is willing to provide for Ukraine's defense. Haven't we seen that news before? I don't think it's that recent, because there were the brakes were being put on already a couple of weeks ago by the US government. Biden says Elon Musk's relationship with foreign countries are worthy of being looked at. This is interesting that this statement comes and that one or two days later we're starting to see the FTC meddling into the affairs of Elon Musk. It's like they are responding to the call of their president to persecute and harass Elon Musk for committing the crime of thinking about maybe restoring free speech. Unbelievable. This should be labeled harassment and abuse, and a president shouldn't be able to do this. This is Biden thinking out loud, oh yeah, you know, maybe we could investigate you. Maybe not. Depends on how easy you go in unbanning people from Twitter. Amazon makes history after losing $1 trillion in market value amid tech stock rout. Amazon has become the first publicly traded company in history to lose $1 trillion in market valuation amid a volatile economy that has sparked a broad tech sell-off. The Jeff Bezos-founded company, valued close to $1.88 trillion on July 2021, saw its shares fall 4.3% on Wednesday, pushing its market value down to $878 billion. Amazon stock has lost nearly 50% of its value this year alone. Well, I'm sad because out of all the big tech, Amazon has allowed me to express myself. And so it has allowed me to make a living, literally being an author. I will always be thankful to Jeff Bezos for this. And even before I was an author, Jeff Bezos hired me at Amazon so that I could be a customer service representative. So I'm thankful for everything that Amazon has done. And I'm sure they will recover from this. They are very dominant. They're going to be dominant in the future. It's only a matter of the economy is down right now, but they will still be the biggest retail force in the future. And this will be the last news item because I do have to rest my voice so that I'm fully prepared for this night's Modern Day Debate. It will be in 30 minutes from now on Modern Day Debate. Jimmy Kimmel, I have lost half of my fans since targeting Trump. This is false. I'm sure it is false. It's not because you targeted Trump. You may have lost half of your fans, but that's probably because you're not funny. Because when you become moral, it's not so much that the fans that you annoy are fans of Donald Trump. There's plenty of liberals out there willing to consume comedy. The problem is, if you become hyper-moral in your comedy, you are breaching really a taboo of comedy. You are making something that makes things not funny. And it's not funny when jokes have a feminist undertone, or when a joke relies on the conception that a president who gathered 50% of the vote is some kind of fascist. It doesn't work, because you need a stretch. And in comedy, the funny thing, what's funny, is when you don't need a stretch, when you need less than a stretch, when things just fall in place, so obvious that everyone has to laugh because everyone has to acknowledge the reality that you're talking about. Jimmy Kimmel has not been funny for a long time. So you can't surf on this forever. Mysterious Mansion says, exactly, JF, Kimmel isn't funny now. Spindly Opinion says, it's the moralizing I find very unfunny. Exactly, the humor generally is much funnier on the demoralizing side rather than the moralizing. So if you can make jokes about being a psychopath. You cannot make a joke about being a careful human being with lots of empathy. Doesn't work. It doesn't work because humor is a subversive force. It has to come from below. It has to come from the other sense of normal human morality, to be at odds with it. That's why Daniel Tosh is fun when he tells the story of some kid who has cancer at the hospital, and he goes to see him, and the kid is like, oh, Daniel Tosh, it's you? You were actually my second choice. I wanted to see LeBron James instead. That is funny. It's funny because the kid turns out to be more psychopathic than the situation warranties. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, good luck on your debate. Your new shirt needs to be imbued with the same KD ratio of your old shirt. Yeah, it's true. And people were asking about my red shirt because I talked about my shirt that I'm wearing all the time, but it's true that back in the days I was alternating with a red shirt. The red shirt is right there. I could take it next episode to show it because some of you guys were remembering fondly the days when I was wearing red. But I cannot wear the red shirt anymore because it was a tighter fit than the gray shirt. And I'm too fat now to wear the red shirt. But the gray was still fitting. Nicholas Petris says, why haven't you been wearing it for years? Well, I just told you because it's a tighter fit. It was a smaller size, and at some point it stopped working. That is it for tonight, boys. I will see you all in 25 minutes. In 25 minutes on the Modern Day Debate channel. The link to the debate is in the description below, and it will always also be on all of my social media. Bye bye. And Mysterious Mention says JF won the blood sports era. He's the only one who is still pushing forward. Yes, I mean, I'm not much of a different guy than I was back in the days. Things have changed. The audience size has changed. The banning from YouTube. I'm not banned from YouTube, but the exit from YouTube. But I'm still pretty much thinking the same way. By the way, talking about YouTube bans, Atheism is Unstoppable main channel somehow has gotten unbanned. And I think it's been years that it was banned. He says he tried to make an appeal and suddenly it worked. And he had made appeals in the past and it wasn't working. So that's an indication that YouTube is getting nervous because this guy has been banned for years. He had to create Atheism is Unstoppable 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now at this point, he says he cannot go back to his old business model, which was to produce videos for free mostly. He has gotten habituated to this Gavin McInnes platform, whatever it is, and he's making cash there. So he says he's not gonna come back to put his full videos onto his main channel, but he's going to use his main channel to show some previews of his video. And if you pay on censored.tv, you're gonna be able to see the full video. It's a guy that I respect. He's a creator who's putting a lot of effort in his videos, and to me, he represents truly the OG YouTube crew. He was there, and he was an artist on YouTube at the beginning, and he's putting much artistry and much thought in his video. I don't think he's a great thinker, but it doesn't matter because he has other skills, he has artistry, and he has a kind of partly autistic approach, kind of in your face type of guy, which is exactly the kind of thing that got him in trouble with the TOS. He's just so much in your face that he ends up saying things in a format that will offend the leftist of YouTube. But I pray for a future in which we have a AIU freely speaking, freely creating, and everyone should be back to this mood if we can restore the internet that way. By the way, triple program tonight because in 20 minutes I'm going on Modern Day Debate. I will have the debate with Saul, and then after this, there will be an after party, I hear. It seems that I'm that I have an invitation. So there's going to be a chiller stream after with the host who will be hosting this debate. I'll give you the details on my social media. Bye bye.